Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you present today. We're glad to have each one of you here to worship with us, those that could be here at the building with us today, and those that are online. We're glad that you're with us, too. We always welcome you to our service and hope that you can worship along with us as we endeavor to worship God in spirit and in truth. Today, I'm going to take two statements that Jesus made and use those two statements as the basis for our study. If you want to turn in the book of Matthew, both these statements will be found in the book of Matthew. The first one will be in Matthew chapter 11, and I want to begin reading with verse 28 and read the last three verses there of Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now turn over to the last chapter, chapter 28, and down at verse 18. I want to start reading at verse 18 and read through the rest of this chapter. Jesus said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," or end of the age, as some translations would say. Now, these two passages, I want to use those as our basis for our study today. The first passage was an invitation. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And that's a part of our lesson today. The title of our lesson is "Come and Learn, Go and Teach." And so these two passages that Jesus used, that's what he's saying in these passages. So let us study these two statements today. One is an invitation, while the other is a commission. Jesus said, "Come unto me, that you may learn of me, and then go and teach." So there's the commission then that they will have. The principal reason why that we do not go and teach usually is because we did not come and learn. We need to come and learn of Jesus before we can go and teach the gospel. And so this is what we want to talk about this morning. First of all, we'll use this in two parts, and we'll use the first part first in Matthew chapter 11 and down at the 28th verse down there. He said, come and learn. So what do we learn when we come to Jesus? Well, first of all, I have several different points I want to make on this one. We'll take this first, and then we'll talk about going and teach in the last part of our lesson this morning. What do we learn if we come to Jesus? Well, first of all, we learn of his universal invitation and the impartiality of his interest in mankind. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." So this is universal. It's for every person. It's not just for the nation that I'm a part of, but it's for all over the whole world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark would say in verses 15 and 16, chapter 16 and verse 15. The universal part of it shows that Jesus Christ now has put the invitation to everybody. When he first came into the world, he told his apostles to go not to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then when Jesus came and died on the cross, then he made this invitation universal and said, "Go teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So the invitation was to all. That shows it's universal. And we're to teach the gospel to everyone that we come in contact with. There is no response, no respect of persons with God. Jesus Christ and God does not respect persons. They look at all of them alike. He makes no difference in the rich or the poor. He makes no difference in the black or the white. He makes no difference in the short or the tall. He makes no difference in the fat or the skinny. It doesn't matter with him. We're all as one with him. So common people heard him gladly when he was here upon this earth. This is one thing that we want to notice this morning. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 37, it says, "Therefore David himself called him Lord, and how is he then his son?" Then the last part of that verse says, "And the common people heard him gladly." You remember at one time that John sent his disciples unto Jesus and asked him if he was the one that was to come, or should they seek another? And Jesus did not say, "I am the one." He could have said it just as easy as he did the other, but that wasn't what he did. He told the disciples to go back and tell John what they had seen and heard, how that the lame walked and the deaf heard and the blind would see, and how that the people had their sins forgiven or had their sicknesses forgiven. And so, and last of all, he says, "And the poor had the gospel preached unto them." So he said the common people then heard him gladly, and we see that all through the time when Jesus was here working on the earth and teaching on the earth, that the common people were the ones that most of the time heard him gladly and not those that were in some kind of authority in some way. And so Jesus says then that the common people, the poor, that they heard him gladly. Sinners, beggars, outcasts, publicans, all these found a friend in Jesus. Now, we'd sing the song sometime, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." With all these people, the sinners, some had their sins forgiven. Some were beggars. You remember how that there was the beggar sitting outside the temple when Peter and John went in the temple to pray and asking alms. And he said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And so here was the beggars, the outcasts. Many of these may have been lepers who was cast out of the camp because they had leprosy. Publicans, the tax collectors and so forth, were usually looked upon by people as being some of the worst sinners of all. And so all of these found Jesus as a friend. But he did not neglect the rich either. You remember how that Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night to ask him what to do about being saved, and he told him that he had to be born again in order to be saved. And Nicodemus said, "How can a grown man be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And then there was Joseph of Arimathea, and there was the rich young ruler. So he appealed to all, not just the poor, but those who were rich as well. He appealed to those. He did not neglect any of them. He gave all of them the same opportunity as the other. And so of his universal invitation that he was given to people, we see that this was Jesus. He did this for all mankind. It was not just for a portion of the people, but he died for everybody and sent the invitation. He told the apostles to go teach all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that we learn of Christ when we come to him is his, not just his universal and impartial invitation or interest in mankind, but we find also his unusual need, the universal need of mankind, and how that he could see this need for mankind and was here to do something about that need that man had. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote in chapter 1 and down at verse 18 beginning, Romans 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So all people then, we note that the unrighteousness is something that we're not to dabble around in, that we're to be righteous and not unrighteous. And those unrighteous things are to be cast off and not a part of our life. God manifest in them, it says, the things that God has made. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the elements show his handiwork. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, "And at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And here he's talking about the Gentiles when they were without God, when they were outside. That at that time he said you were without Christ. Why were they without Christ? Because they had not been accepted in. They had not obeyed the gospel of Christ. Being aliens, he says, from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That tells me if we're outside of God, we have no hope, that we're strangers from him. You remember how that Jesus said unto people on the day of judgment, some of them, depart from me, I never knew you. They said, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works? Jesus said, I don't know you. Why did he not know them? Because they were outside of his body. They had not obeyed the gospel of Christ. And so it behooves all of us to study the word of God to find out what God wants us to do, that we might be on the inside and not on the outside looking in. So Jesus then, when we come to him and learn of him, we learn then of his universal and impartial interest in mankind. We learn of his universal need for mankind and how that he saw that universal need. We also learn of his love and sacrifice to meet man's needs. And not only did Jesus see the needs that they had, but he came to meet those needs and to show that those needs that he recognized those needs and he was here to take care of those needs. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his rich, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So what did Jesus do? He gave up what we want. He gave up heaven to come to the earth for us, that he might become like us, like man, that he could suffer on the cross and die on the cross, that through his poverty we might be made rich. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So he was not a rich man as far as the world's goods were concerned. He said he didn't even have a place to lay his head. The birds have nests, foxes have holes, but he didn't have any place to lay his head. In the book of Philippians, in the second chapter of the book of Philippians, I want to begin reading with verse 5 of that chapter and read down a few verses there. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, that he was made like unto man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus knew what it would take to correct these things for mankind. He knew what man's needs were and what he had to do in order to supply those needs. Now I want to go down a few verses further here and start with verse 9 where we left off and go down through about verse 11. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so here's the secret then. We must be obedient unto him, and we must confess his name before mankind. In Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 2 rather, and verse 9, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. So what did Jesus do? He came to the world and became like a servant. He became like a man so that he could die on the cross for mankind. So you'll have Gethsemane then and the cross. The purpose of his life and his death is summed up, I think, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I think that sums it up. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it said, many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing in his name, that believing you might have life through his name. So God intended for us to listen to Jesus Christ and to be obedient unto him. So he came and was willing to die on the cross, not because he was a sinner, but he died on the cross for my sins and your sins. What a friend that is. What a friend we have in Jesus. We come to him, we learn that he is the only answer to man's needs. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. So he's the only way. We cannot get to the Father through anyone else. John came as a forerunner for Jesus Christ, and this is one thing he said, that Jesus must increase, but he must decrease. He said, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And so we learn then that he is the only answer to man's needs. Hebrews 9 and verse 22, it says, According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And Jesus shed his blood on the cross that we might have the remission of our sins. And what a friend we have in Jesus Christ. And we need to come to him and learn of these things so that we'll be ready to go and teach the gospel to other people. When we come to Jesus, we learn the value of a soul. In Matthew 16 and verse 26, For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, what is your soul worth today? What would you take for your soul? Well, Jesus says that the soul is worth more than all the world. If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, then what is he really profited? So we need to let this be a motivation rather than a competition or selfishness to motivate us to try to reach those souls that are lost in the world and to bring them to Christ while there is time and opportunity. When we come to Christ, we also learn how to reach the lost. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 18 beginning, the story is told of Jesus as he walks by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. So what do we need to do? We need to go into the world to talk to people and to let them know the importance of their serving God and following him. So Jesus just simply said to Peter and Andrew, Follow me. And they left their nets and followed him. He went on a little further, and he found the sons of Zebedee, and he told them to follow. And they left their father in the net, in the boat, mending a net with the people that was working with them. And they left and followed Jesus also. So we need to go into the world to let people know that we're interested in them and that we want them to follow the Lord as he followed God and as he showed that we are to follow him. He called ordinary men to do the work that needed to be done, and he made great powers out of just ordinary men. Now, sometime today we think, well, how in the world could I serve the Lord? How in the world could I help the Lord of me as common as I am? Well, Jesus took just common, ordinary men. Here were fishermen. Here was Peter and Andrew who were fishermen. James and John were fishermen. And so he had all kinds of people that were following him. And just ordinary men that he took them and made great powers out of. What about Saul of Tarsus? Here he was persecuting the church, trying to destroy it. But God took him, just an ordinary man. He said he was the chief of sinners, and yet he made him a great power, one of the strongest and most powerful men in his kingdom at one time. He can do the same thing for us if we're willing to enroll in his school and learn his lessons. That's what he said, come unto me. And come and learn of me. And so if we enroll in his school and learn his lessons, then we can be a great power just like these ordinary men that he called were here that we're talking about. It involves sacrifice. It involves training. It involves study. It involves time. It involves prayer. It involves a willingness on our part to do what God has said for us to do. And these people left their nets and followed him. We must be willing to put him first in our life And it may mean that we have to give up some things in order to put God first in our life and to do what he wants us to do. Now, let's go to the second part of our lesson now. We've come to Jesus to learn about him. And so since we've come to Jesus and learned about him, then the next thing is, he said, go. Go and teach. If we have learned, then we will go and teach. You know, the things that we learn about Christ, it's kind of like a burning fire within us, and it just can't retain it. It has to come out. We have to tell others about the Lord. What the Lord has done for us, we have to tell others. The things that we feel when we are a part of him, when we feel that we've obeyed him in the right way, and the satisfaction, the peace of mind that we have, there's nothing like it in the world. But this comes through Jesus Christ. If we learn, come to him and learn, then we will go and teach. We'll teach whatever we can. To be a Christian is to be a missionary. So as we are children of God, we learn whatever it is that God has taught us. Whenever we study what we learn, we share that with other people and realize that we're not losing anything when we share those things that we know with other folks, but we're gaining instead of losing. In sending out the apostles, there were three commands that Jesus gave to them, and they're just simple commands that I want us to notice today, and it'll help us in the same way. The first one, he said, lift up your eyes and look. What were they to look at? They were to look upon the fields that was white already under harvest. Notice John chapter 4 and verse 35. Do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. So Jesus said, now look up, lift up your eyes and look. I think this is the first thing that we have to do, that we have to lift up our eyes and look at the fields. Now, we talk about fields. We've seen fields. Those of us that grew up on the farm, we've seen fields that were ready to harvest. You take a big field of wheat, and when it gets ready to harvest, it's almost like you're looking out across a white desert or something of this nature. But it's imperative that that wheat is taken in or taken care of at the proper time. If not, then you're going to lose a lot of the crop. The wheat standing there ready to be harvested, and you leave it out there a little while longer. It comes up a thunderstorm, and wind blows the wheat over. Half of it's laying on the ground, and so you lose a lot of it when it's like that. Beans the same way. I notice now a lot of fields between here and home. The beans, the leaves are all gone off of it. You have the stalk sticking up with the pods of beans hanging on that stalk. If those are not harvested pretty quick, they'll start to drop out of the pods onto the ground, or the wind blow them over to where the machine cannot harvest them like they ought to. And so it's imperative that harvest is done at the right time. So in sending these people out, the apostles out into the world, he gave them three commands that they would do. First one is to lift up your eyes and look. We need to lift up our eyes and look upon the masses of humanity, which is lost, and recognize that it is indeed a plenteous harvest, that we should look with compassion upon these people that are lost. And so here's the masses of people in the world today. It's like that field of wheat that's waiting to be harvested. But who's going to harvest it? Well, Jesus goes on, and one of the next commandments will show what Jesus said about harvesting this great crop that's there. The second command is to pray. He said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So God says that the harvest is plenteous. We need to pray, as Jesus said, we need to pray unto God that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Down in Alabama, where I grew up, our main crop was cotton when I was growing up. And that cotton was something else that needed to be gathered at the right time. Whenever it opened, it looked just almost like a roll of snow or something. The field looked white like snow. And the bowls were open wide, and they were easy for you to gather and to pick. And when I grew up, you picked it by hand. You didn't have a machine to pick it with. But if you let it stay there and it rained on it a time or two, then it got dark, and and the grade of the cotton was not as good as it was to start with, so you lost money because it didn't bring as much that way. A lot of it fell off on the ground and wasted, and so it's necessary that we send forth laborers into the harvest. If we could not do all of it by ourselves, then we hired people to help us to pick that cotton and get it out of the field before it wasted. And so that's what Jesus is saying to his apostles here. Pray to God to send forth laborers into his harvest. So we need today to pray to God that laborers be sent into the harvest to harvest that great mass of people that are outside the fold of God. Perhaps the answer will be found in us. When we pray to God to send forth laborers into his harvest, then maybe I'm the one that needs to go into the harvest. Maybe I'm the one he's waiting on to do that service. I said a while ago, to be a Christian is to be a missionary. And so we have things to do to reap that harvest that God has put there for us. And the next command that he gave was to go. Look on the fields that are white unto harvest. Pray to God that he send forth laborers into the harvest. And then he says, go. In Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This tells us what the reapers were to do. They were to baptize people. They were to teach them and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, we may say, I can't go. But we must learn that we as individuals have the duty and responsibility of going. But you may say, well, I can't go across the sea and to teach the gospel to people. Well, you may not be able to go across the ocean to teach the gospel to people, but you might be able to go across the street and teach your neighbor or next door or your family or someone friends of yours. And so there's more than just going across the ocean to teach the gospel. It's fine to send others to work in the vineyard of God, but maybe we need to talk about the urgency of our going and teaching as we can. We may not be able to teach like some people do, but we can do the best we can. I think I told you this story before of the preacher that was over in Africa and talking about they went out into the bush country where the gospel had not gone, and they preached the gospel and they baptized maybe half a dozen people. And two or three weeks later they came back and there was maybe 20 people ready to be baptized where these people had gone out and told others what they had learned and what it took to make them Christians. And so that's what it's all about. We need to tell people what we know from the gospel, what we have learned, and it will help them to learn the same way. The world is compared to a great harvest in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. And so this is the people that we're talking about. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are already white unto harvest. The harvest is ready. It's waiting on us. The thing of it is, and the question is, are we ready? And the time is precious, just like we was talking about a while ago. Time is precious whenever it's harvest time. And we have to work a little bit longer hours and a little harder to get the harvest in before it wastes. So realizing the great need, how can we be indifferent then about taking the gospel to the world? How can we be indifferent about doing our part as a missionary, a minister for God? There must be, these two things must go concurrently. The coming to the Lord and learning and going and teaching. We come to him and learn while we go and teach. So still we come to the Lord and learn more all the time. We come to him, we're obedient unto him, and we learn, and as we learn, we go teach. We may not know everything about it when we obey the gospel. More than likely we don't know much about it at all, but we can learn, and that's what God intends for us to do. As a baby, we desire the sincere milk of the word. And then we begin to grow and we get to the point where we can handle the weightier matters of the law. And so we come to the Lord. We keep on coming to the Lord. We keep on going and teaching. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you need to come and learn and find rest for your soul. That's what Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Today is the day of salvation. Today is the appointed time. Jesus Christ died on the cross that you might have this opportunity and that I might have this opportunity to be obedient unto him. If you've never obeyed him, now's the time for you to come and do so. And we bid you to come and be obedient to the gospel of Christ. Learn of Jesus and learn of the things of the world and that great harvest that's there. And then be ready to say, "Lord, here am I, send me." Won't you come while we're standing as we sing?